Just want to let you know that the links for everything are down below to my guest and to the Serpents and Doves website. I want to encourage everybody to check those out. Also, if you can, remember to subscribe, to like, and to share the videos. And if you feel led to help support the work that I'm doing to come alongside it, whether with a single or a monthly recurring donation, you can do so by clicking in the link below. And I hope you guys enjoy. Let's get to it. Well, we're back. And this time, I promise, we are going to talk about the gap period, right?
Amen. We're going to stay on topic this time.
Yeah, we're going to stay on topic.
We probably won't, but
we'll try. Okay, then we'll try to stay.
We'll get her done. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try to stay on topic, folks. I'm excited to have Pastor Jason back on. You know, my wife said, "You know what you should do between your recordings is change your shirts." That's too much work. That's too much. I got to stand up, take these things off. Forget it. So, anyways, even though it's a great idea and she has a lot of good ones, I'm just lazy about that. Can you imagine just, we got to stop. Let's change shirts. And maybe that's what they do. You know if that's what some of these other guys do? Like, because I know they record back to back. I'd be curious.
I have no idea. I got a whole stack of turtlenecks over here, though, different colors.
Yes.
If you want to switch it out.
I'm telling you. Okay. If you will do this with me, I will go through the suffering of wearing a turtleneck and a blazer on our next podcast, dude. We got to do it. We got to do it.
No,
yeah,
I'm not,
you got to do it.
I'm not just that for, spiritual. So.
Just for fun, dude. We got to do that. Hey, the guys in the 60s and the 70s, man, the pastors, that was cool. And you know what? It's even better if you have the patches on the elbows, dude.
I'm pretty sure Chuck Smith used to rock turtleneck and blazer, didn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. All the time, dude. You know he did, man. Love it.
Hey, we're already off topic. So
we're totally off topic. See what happens? Okay. Folks, look, I like to laugh, and we got to laugh these days, because if we don't laugh with everything happening around us, we'll go crazy. And God created laughter. He created joy. And you know what? I like to do that. To me, it's just something that is so soothing when I laugh. It's just good. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Jason, for the laugh. That was so good. I got a stack of turtlenecks. Dude, you know what I'm going to get you for your birthday, right? You know it. Oh, man. Okay, family, listen. I would say here, do the intros, but everybody already knows Pastor Jason David. Sunshine Church, if you're in the area, New Mexico, Belen, New Mexico, they have a Sunday morning service, and you guys are going to start a Wednesday. Do you know about when you're going to start that?
Wednesday, November 1st at 6:30 p.m. We'll be starting.
There you go.
Come check it out.
So if you're in the area starting November 1st, which is my lovely wife's B-Day, I won't forget that. Go, please, stop in, check it out, say hi to Pastor Jason, his beautiful wife, his beautiful children, and his beautiful church family, because they are all so loving. You will be very, very encouraged. So I say we dive in. You good?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay, so family, listen, the last podcast we did, we touched on, and we did touch on it, the fact that there's going to be this gap period between the signing of the covenant, which is what starts the tribulation period, okay, it's not the rapture, and most of you guys know this already, it's not something new. There might be some that don't really know that, or actually, I might be surprised how many don't, but anyways, and the rapture of the church. I don't believe it to be a week. I don't believe it to be a month or 2 months. I believe it to be at least 3.5 years. We're going to go through some of those reasons. Pastor Jason and I are going to go quick. And so with that said, we're going to talk about the very, very first one, which I believe needs to happen. It is a necessity before we get into Ezekiel 38, 39, is this whole notion of a one world government.
Yeah.
One world government. And so with that said, if you guys have your Bibles, please turn to Daniel chapter 7. Let's go back to the old. Well, I am in Daniel from the first one. Daniel chapter 7. That was in Daniel 9. And then if you don't mind, if you have your Bible, my brother, if you could read verses 23 and 24, that would be great.
Daniel 7:23, it says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings."
So with that said right there, we see this whole building of a 10 king / 10 kingdom, whatever you want to call them, regional directors, under the guise of a one world government. Right, that has to happen. Yep. Before the tribulation begins. It has to happen. This isn't something that could just happen overnight, because there is a control factor here that we're even witnessing as we're talking in the world. This whole push for a one world government, right? You could still go to Wikipedia, which is such weak sauce when you type in a new world order, because we hear so many world leaders talking about this new world order. And I find it hilarious that it still says conspiracy theory, right? It's crazy. Everyone's talking about it, but it's a conspiracy theory. But we have to have a one world government. I'm going to turn it over to you and just give us your thoughts on that as one of many things that has to happen before the beginning of the tribulation.
And the verses we just read, specifically verse 24, it says the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And then the next line is, and another shall rise after them, right? So a time marker. The Antichrist is going to come after the 10 kings. We also know from Revelation chapter 17, the Antichrist comes after the 10 kings. So before the one man, one world government, there's going to be a 10 king, one world government. And I'm saying one world government because, so it's still 10 leaders, but it says in Revelation 17, they give their power and authority to the beast. And it also says there that they're of one, I believe it says they're of one mind. If it doesn't say it exactly, it's the idea is they're of one, they're all on the same page politically or with their idea of ruling the world. So before one world ruler comes, a one world government with 10 world rulers, the 10 kings. To me, that's a huge indicator of a relatively, it can't be a short gap period. It's got to be a good amount of time in the gap period there, because if you think that through, it's going to take time to set up a one world government. So let me kind of pause on that for a minute, because I know we talk a lot about, and I, on my prophecy updates, I talk a lot about, hey, look at the setting up of the one world government that we're seeing right now. And it's happening so fast with CBDCs and all the health regulations that are coming down, and in all these different areas, we're seeing like never before the establishment of a one world government, or I should say like, they're making the chess pieces right now in order to put them in place on the board, right? They're not completely set up right now, but they're fashioning the pieces. And we're seeing it happen, like I said, super, super fast. So we're seeing the establishment of the one world government. But I want to pause on that for a second and say, as fast as it's happening right now, and again, it's breakneck speed, and it's exciting to see it happening and scary at the same time, as fast as it's happening, in order for it to fully flip over to a one world government, there's still so much that has to happen. And so if you just think about, I think there's around 200 countries in the world right now, 195 to 200 or something like that.
Yep.
Let me say this, there's a lot of different types of governments within those 200 countries, right? There's all different kinds of governments, and even within like dictatorships and democracies, those are two opposites, even within those realms of types of governments, there's still a ton of differences within those realms, right? There's not all run exactly the same. And so when we say one world government, we have to get through our heads that that means all of the countries of the world, 200 countries, have to all be switched over on the same page to do everything exactly the same, to do everything in lockstep. And so, again, I know we see that happening, and we're looking at, again, central bank digital currencies and going, oh my gosh, you know, one world economy is right before our eyes. And I believe it is. It's getting there very quick. But in order for the full implementation of that, man, I really think a lot has to happen to switch all the countries over to one world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that, to me, that makes so much sense that that would happen after a huge, unique, worldwide catastrophe that the rapture is going to be. It's going to be awesome for us, but it's going to leave the world in shambles in so many ways. It makes so much sense to see the government form during the tribulation period, or during the gap period, as opposed to, like, I don't think it can form right away at the beginning of the trib. I think you need time in there to do all the switchovers, like I was talking about before, to get everybody on the same page. And again, I'm not discounting how far they've advanced already, right? If you just even think about the Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, he's got that school called the Young Global Leaders from the World Economic Forum, something like that. But he's already
you graduated from there, didn't you?
That's where I got this shirt. It was like a gift for graduating from because we're not going to make it through this.
Stop. Sorry.
That's all right.
I guarantee you people are going to email me or write me in and say, that's why you don't interrupt your guests. You're so rude. So I'm sorry. But no, you were talking about these different blocks of power, the WEF, World Economic Forum.
Why? Klaus Schwab and the globalist and whoever else is behind that. They're putting a lot of their guys in place, men and women. They are. I mean, and it's amazing and it's crazy. So they're setting up the system, but I don't think it can fully flip over until after the rapture, because there's just too many pieces in the way, and the United States is one of them. But even in the other countries that are other forms of government, they still all have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
And to do that worldwide and to put 10 leaders in place is going to take some time. And I really believe it's going to take an event like the rapture in order to get people ready to accept that, hey, we're doing this new form of government. It's worldwide. It only makes sense to me that that happens after the rapture, before the tribulation period.
Yep. I agree. Let me see if I can just kind of go back and maybe just shed a little clarification as to how I think this is going to roll out. I don't think, and I don't believe that the new, the one world government is the same thing as the 10 kings. So just hear me out a bit.
Okay.
I want to make sure we understand that. I believe what we're seeing right now is not the formation of the 10 kings. This might blow people's minds. What I see happening right now, what we see happening, the structure going up, yes, is the beast system. And you and I did a two-part series on the beast system. If you guys want, go watch it. I'll see if I could remember to link that below. If I don't make me a note, I'll forget. But if I don't remember, please, they're there. It's called the beast system. So check that out. But listen, what I think we're seeing right now is the formation of a one world government, right? We're seeing this push to have a one world unity under the guise of a one world economy, politically. And also, we're seeing this. I just talked with Pastor Ken Ortiz on this whole notion of a new paganism, this unification under the guise of a one world religion. So what I think is going to happen, because if we read here in the second, the first part of 24, and as for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom shall 10 kings arise. So what I see happening is I see us, this push for a one world government is what we see now, which is what's going to, I believe, move on into after the rapture. out of that one world government is going to come the 10 kingdom division. There's not going to be, just think about it. There are going to be a lot of people vying for power under this one, this guise of a one world government, right? But even under the guise of a one world government, we know that the Muslim bloc nations are not going to fold into this whole one world government. So how do you get the whole world unified under this push of a one world government and then split into a 10 kingdom division or 10 kings? Well, that is another reason, which leads us to another reason why I believe we have to have a gap period of at least 3.5 years, and that is the war of Gog and Magog, the Ezekiel 38-39 war, right? I mean, think about it. You have these Muslim nations that will not fold into it. They have a very, very powerful ideology. And I believe that it's not until after the Ezekiel 38-39 war where the Muslim nations are decimated and you have this ability to now truly come under the guise of a one world government and then the split into 10 kings, right? And some people are probably going, I want to get your take on this, or going, dude, what are you talking about? Think about it. You just mentioned the WEF. Yep. You have the World Economic Forum led by Klaus Schwab. You've got Yuval Noah Harari. You've got a lot of people that are in key positions around the world that have come from that organization. But on the converse side of that, on the flip side of that, you also have this whole push of the BRICS nations that are antithetical really to what Klaus Schwab wants to do. Yes, they want to take power away from the West, mm-hmm. right? But you essentially have two powers that are vying for power. Do you understand what I mean? You've got Russia, you got China, you got Russia now making arms deals with North Korea. You've got India, you got South Africa. You've got these nations that Brazil, and then you have the WEF, which on that, and again, this is what I feel is happening. You still have a split. So we really don't even have a one world government yet, even though we see them trying. It's kind of like when you start a car and it doesn't want to start because it's been a cold night. At least the old cars used to do that. It's like just they're trying to start it, but it's not going to be running yet. I don't know. What's your take on that? Because that's what I'm seeing. You know, these it's almost like two factions.
I really think, yeah, you see that, and you see that even. So in our own government, you see that too with the globalists and the what are they? The deep staters. There's some distinction there. Some of them cross over and they're both.
Yep.
But yeah, I totally hear you on the kind of the opposing world powers there as well. The same thing that after the rapture. As those two entities, you know, kind of the WEF side of it and the BRICS side of it, as they're both building up their agendas right now, yep. That after the rapture, it will change everything and it'll change the whole layout of everything. I don't know if I have a good response to that.
Let me make it more simple. And I agree with you 100%. Like we said last time, right? We're looking at things now with rapture goggles.
Yeah.
And we are seeing a push. It's undeniable. We're seeing a push for a one world government. There are governments around the world that want a one world government. Now, who is going to be at the helm? That's to be determined, right? Who's going to mm-hmm. be at the helm? On one side, you got the WEF and the nations surrounding them. On the other side, you have the BRICS nations. You have the UN that is meddling in a lot of people's businesses as well. Surprise there. So, but let me throw this over to you. Yes, on the flip side of the rapture, how do you think they're going to come together? Because I believe that after the rapture is when they're really going to coalesce into a one world government. Do you think that the Gog Magog war has anything to do with that? Okay, go ahead. Talk about that.
Big time. Yeah, I guess that's where you were going, huh? Yeah, big time. Because after the Gog Magog, it's also going to be totally different because God's going to take out Russia for one right there. Yep. That's a huge piece right there. But also a lot of the nations that are Iran, Turkey, and some of the other nations in there are Muslim, huge Muslim population. That's going to change everything as well because those groups of people are going to be taken out. So I think especially after the Ezekiel 38 war, you will see, and man, like you said, that's hard to see right now because it's post-rapture and it's going to, the rapture is going to change everything. But then also Ezekiel 38 Gog Magog war is going to change everything as well as far as world politics and who's going to dominate and what it's going to look like. But I think for sure we know Russia is going to be taken out then as a power. Also, again, a lot of the Muslim nations. So that is going to open up a time when Antichrist, and I don't know, I don't think he'll fully be, it'll be before the covenant. So, but he'll still be on the scene, behind the scenes, or maybe a little bit out in the open, but not the guy yet, right?
Yep.
But they'll be able to be establishing the revived Roman Empire at that time. It seems like it's going to create a vacuum again after Ezekiel 38, after some of those major players are taken out. It'll create a good time for revived Roman Empire to be set up. And again, I don't know if I can give a good scenario on how exactly I think that's going to play out, but I think at that time it's going to, which will be after Ezekiel 38 war, in the gap, some of those major countries will be taken out, and then a vacuum will be there to start the revived Roman Empire. That's already being started right now as we're talking.
Sure it
about.
Is. Yeah. And listen, I was thinking about this the other day. We have the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? We have the Babylonian Empire, which was the head. We've got the Medo-Persian Empire, which was the chest. The belly was the Grecian Empire. And then you have the Roman Empire of the legs, right?
Yeah.
Which were iron, and iron devours. And I found it interesting that, right, we have the Eastern faction and we had the Western faction of the Roman Empire, two legs. We also have what's coming are the two feet. And so we see the 10 toes, the 10 kings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm curious, and again, not dogmatic about this, just some food for thought. But just like we had on the statue, we had the Eastern leg, no pun intended, okay? But the Eastern leg of the Roman Empire and the Western leg of the Roman Empire. I wonder if five of those kings will come from the East and five of those kings will come from the West. Just food for thought. I'm not dogmatic about that. I can't say go to this chapter and verse in Scripture. But if I go according to what we see in that statue and what we've seen in the Roman Empire, East and Western front, I'm curious if that's going to be the case. We got five and five toes, Eastern and Western, right? Just a thought, hold that in the back of your mind, because some people go, well, that still doesn't necessitate 3.5 years. And this is really another reason why I believe it's 3.5 years. And we got to go quick here.
Yeah.
In Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 11 through 16, we have the burial of the bodies, and then we have the burning of the weapons for 7 years. Now, we don't have time to get into, the different views of that. Some believe that it's going to be a post-tribulational. Some think it's going to be a mid-tribulational cleanup. There's this interlude view, but listen, at the end of the day, I personally believe that we need at least 3.5 years for the burning of the weapons, because at the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation, I want to get your take on this too.
Yep.
We have the Jews fleeing for their lives and they won't be able to bury the weapons in that. What do you mean by burying the weapons? I'm sorry, burning the weapons. That's a show. That's a podcast for a whole nother time. And we should address that because there is a lot there to talk about. But what is your take on that? Man, I'd love to hear, Pastor Jason.
Yeah, that's it. That makes the one you just said makes the most sense to me, that if the gap period is 3.5 years, and so Let me just read the second half of the verse real quick. Ezekiel 39, verse 9. Yeah, it's the second half of 9. It says, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. And before that, it says they're gonna go out and burn the weapons. And so it makes sense to me that Gog, Ezekiel 38 war happens in the gap period between the rapture and the tribulation period, and that it's probably a 3.5 year period, because if the Ezekiel 38 war happens near the beginning of that time, that means they have time to burn the weapons for 3.5 years leading up to the tribulation period, and then for the next 3.5 years leading up to the midpoint of the tribulation period, which would give them a total of 7 years. And the reason, so Revelation chapter 12 tells us that midway through, or at the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation period, Satan is going to come after the Jews like never before, and they're going to have to flee into the wilderness, right? So it does make sense that at that point, and that's like Mark of the Beast point, where yep. Antichrist becomes the one world ruler, that at that point, the Jews would have to stop making fires with their weapons. But that if the gap period's 3.5 years, that gives them the full 7 years to be burning the weapons before they have to flee into the wilderness. So that timing of it makes sense to me as well, that they would.
Yeah.
And let me throw this in there too. And we were talking about this a little bit before, maybe I was talking with somebody else. I talk about the tribulation period all the time, but God, and this is just the thought I had. Again, I can't nail a verse down, but God is such a God of order, right? Even the tribulation period. Think about how the judgments are laid out. Like, you have 21 judgments laid out in groups of seven. You have this. Yep. You could break it into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. Yep. The Bible does do that, right? You have like it. God is so orderly. And then when you study again Revelation 21, we were studying that last week at our church, God is so orderly in the new heavens and the new earth, and the new Jerusalem's going to be these specific dimensions, and three gates are four sides and probably three gates on each side. Yep. Each gate has an angel, and each gate has the name of the tribes of Israel, and then there's 12 foundations to the layers of the wall, and each foundation has a name of the apostles of the Lamb. There's so much order to it, right? It's like God is a God of order, and here's my whole point behind all that. That also lines up with the gap period being 3.5 years, because you can throw in there also, every 2,000 years, God has done something super significant, right? Yep. It just lines up with his character and nature to make it a number like 3.5 years.
Amen.
Pause real quick. It doesn't have to be, right? Yep. I just want to, I'm not nailing it down. I'm just saying it really does line up with scripture. It lines up with who God's other things he's done. And to me, it makes sense. So
no, it totally does. And listen, one thing that we need to also understand is that wow. Who learned you how to spoke? Nuclear weapons will be used in some sort of fashion. And it's easy for us, with everything happening around us, to forget, because we're being bombarded daily with so many events happening around the world. It's difficult for us to remember what was happening 1, 2, 3 months back, right? But don't forget for 1 minute how we had the threat of the use of nuclear weapons by Russia just recently. And I want to just show, so we need to remember that the new world, this one world government that will eventually succeed in happening and then morph into the 10 kings, it is imperialism. This is the definition: the extension of a nation's authority by territorial acquisition or by the establishment of economic and political dominance over other nations. So we're going to see a form of imperialism in this new world order, right? But listen, so lest we forget what had happened just a few months ago, let me just get on over here real quick. Don't forget that Russia, though we don't hear much about it, is still ramping up. This was in January. I know a lot of people talked about this. I know I've mentioned this before, even last year, that they've actually built their first batch of this. It was called the, what did they call it? The Poseidon torpedo. Now it's called the Apocalypse torpedoes. Do a little bit of research on that, folks. It is pretty terrifying, the things that can happen here. But look, check this out. This was September 1st, just a few days ago. I don't know how many people read this. And again, this is on CNN, the bastion of democracy and free speech. New Russian missile system known as, I love the name, Satan 2, has been placed on combat duty. So Russia says that its newest nuclear weapon system, the Sarnat, intercontinental ballistic missile, is now operational. The Sarmat strategic complex has been put on combat duty, which means it is combat ready. And so this is something that we need to remember as we're talking about this, because there are going to be nuclear weapons used here. When you read in Ezekiel the burying of the bodies, it's done very methodically. And there are people that have been hired specifically that know how to deal with this kind of burial, right? And then the burning of the weapons, like I said, we will talk about the burning of the weapons in a future podcast, but it will blow your mind how they will burn weapons for 7 years for energy. And you're wondering, why do they need energy? We'll talk about that later. But listen, let me bring something else up, because we are literally short on time, very, very short. So we talked about the Gog Magog War. We talked about the New World Order. The One World Government morphing into the Ten Kings. The last thing that I want to talk about really is the rise of the Antichrist too. The rise of the Antichrist, he comes up the ranks, and it's not something that happens overnight, because we see that the little horn comes out of the ten horns.
Yeah.
And by the time we get to the beginning of the tribulation, he is already in a position that he's able to wheel and deal in these types of treaties. And I believe that signing that covenant is what propels him to, obviously, quote, messiahship in the eyes of the Jews. And in the world political scene, it just elevates him to a guy who was able to do what no man in history was ever able to do. Talk a little bit about that. And then I know we're rushing through here, but I would love for you to share the gospel and then something God's been laying on your heart that is in Hebrews.
I had, this was from yesterday too. Super, super quick, going back real quick. Nuclear strike on U.S. threatened by Russian state TV. That was yesterday. They came out and threatened. Anyways, amen. Like, so to get to the guy who is going to be the Antichrist, to be signing a peace treaty with Israel and the many, whoever else they're doing the treaty with, he can't just be nobody, right? He's got to build up to at least enough respect and enough trust from the nation of Israel to bring this guy in and be willing to work with him, especially amidst the chaos that's have been happened with the rapture and then the Gog Magog war. They got to trust him enough to work with him on this. And so that will take time listen, these things can happen quickly, right? But 3.5 years to come up through the ranks politically, that's quick, right? That's a fast amount of time. Can that happen in a year or two? Yeah, it can, especially with Satan having more, way more influence. Yeah, it can, but 3.5 years is still quick to do that. So I totally agree on that. Once we get to, the signing of Daniel 9:27 peace covenant, he's going to have to be at a certain point, politically, even just, I was going to say militarily, but just have influence, right? Worldwide influence, again, for the nation of Israel to trust him, to want to work with him, like if you or I tried to work with the nation of Israel right now, we'd get taken down by security, right? They'd be like, get out of here, and you guys need to go put those turtlenecks on right now. I'm sorry. But he's got to... Dang it.
You're all, man, I was on a roll.
He's got to there has to be time to build up to it.
Yeah.
And the treaty is going to be huge, right? And it's going to be like a worldwide thing in that the world's going to know about it. I think anyways.
Yeah.
So he'll need time to build up to it. So
let me just throw two things in there and then I'm going to throw it back over to you because we're literally out of time.
Yeah. Okay.
The setting up of a central bank digital currency as a means for a one world economy that necessitates a lot of time. Yes, we're seeing those things happen. But listen, I said this on his channel. From the time one country starts looking into and researching a CBDC until the time they actually fully roll it out and implement it, it could happen 2 to 3 years alone, just right there on the CBDC alone. And then we didn't even talk about the rollout of a one world religion. Yes, we're seeing the formation. Amen. Yes, we're seeing the setup of that. Yes, we see a lot happening within the church, but we're not there yet. And all of these things necessitate time. And we are going to see the acceleration of each one of them on the flip side of the rapture, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to. So I'm going to turn that over to you, brother.
And let me throw this in there on that too. I can't remember if we emphasized this or not, but we are like the rapture can happen at any time. We're not even going there. The rapture is imminent. I believe it's any moment now. It's soon. I really believe it's soon. So when we say gap, we're not going, we're not pushing the rapture back 3.5 years.
No.
And I'm not trying to throw time out there, but we're not pushing it back that far. We're just saying between that and start of tribulation, there's got to be time. So, but man, the rapture is imminent. It could happen at any time. And again, I believe it's going to happen anytime. I just want to share this. God kind of had this on my heart. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And, I'm going to read it. I know it's a pretty familiar verse, but I think it really speaks into how we as the church are supposed to be living right now. So like we're talking about the gap. What does that have to do with, like, could you not know about the gap period and still be saved and be raptured and go to heaven? Absolutely you can. But I think this should be one implication of, hey, we're looking at these things. It looks like Jesus is coming back really, really soon. How should we be living now? Well, God tells us here in these verses what we should be doing at the end of his, or at this point in his prophetic timeline. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And so we see the day approaching. And if you're watching this channel, it's probably because you watch, right? You're looking at the signs of the times and you're interested in these things and you're being obedient to the command to watch and be ready and to see the day approaching. So we totally see the day approaching. What are we supposed to be doing as the church, as the body of Christ? One of the things we're supposed to be doing, right? We're totally supposed to be sharing the gospel and living holy, but what else? And he says here, do these things, he's specific, and he says, do it even more as the day is approaching, the day of the Lord. And the first thing he says is, let us consider one another, right? Or think about one another, or it means to keep your mind focused on one another. So I shouldn't be focused on myself. I should be focused on my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And he tells us exactly like, when you're considering them, what should you consider? Consider stirring up love and good works with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. The interesting part about the word consider there, it's a verb. It's in the Greek. It's in the present tense. And we know Bible study, right? When you look at the Greek and it's a verb and it's in the present tense, it's continuous. It means it's a continual action that keeps on happening. So what's he saying? He's saying as the tribulation period is approaching, or as we see the day approaching, we should be continuously trying to stir up love and good works with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And then verse 25, he's like, you know, in what context do we do that? By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So gather together with other believers even more in fellowship, even more in order to stir up love and good works. And I wanted to put that out there because I see in some parts of the church and some parts of Christianity, people that are withdrawing from fellowship. Listen, don't withdraw from fellowship. We need fellowship even more. And the reason that they're withdrawing from fellowship is because, and this is my opinion, but listen, it's right, okay? I'm seeing it happen. They're being too picky about which church to go to. And they're nitpicking churches, and they're saying, well, I'm not going to go to that church because of X, Y, Z. And they're not legitimate reasons to leave a church. And they're withdrawing and just kind of staying home and staying online. And let me pause right there. I understand and I acknowledge that there are a group of people that are Christians that follow Christ that live in an area where they legitimately don't have a Bible teaching church that they can go to, and they have to be online. I'm not talking to those people right now. I know you're out there. God bless you, and praise God for the internet so you can see church online. I'm talking about people that live near Bible teaching churches that are within 30 to 40 minutes of one, or maybe multiple, that have access to it, but that refuse to go because of one or two or three things that really ultimately, listen, they're not that big of a deal. And you're withdrawing from fellowship because you're being too picky. And so please don't let that stop you from being in fellowship at a church. Let me say this, and I here's the other side of it. Yes, be discerning. And I'm not talking about churches that are teaching false doctrine or that are woke or that don't go to those churches. I'm talking about if you're a Christian and you, there's a Bible teaching, the verse by verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, Bible teaching church, and even a pre-tribulation eschatology church. And maybe they do one or two or three things that you're like not totally on board with, and you leave it because of that. That's what I mean. Don't do that. Let me say this. There's even people at our church, the church I pastor, that I know they don't agree with me on everything. They don't. Like, we've had conversations, but listen, they still come to our church. They don't cause division with it because they're mature, humble believers in Christ. And we continue to have conversations about it. And the fellowship is awesome. And we need each other now, I think, more than ever. So the challenge and the call and the, you know, I know some people are going to be offended by this. I hope some people are offended by this, but please respond to being offended by getting back into fellowship. Okay. So if you've withdrawn from fellowship because of reasons that, you know, again, aren't necessarily a reason to leave a church, but maybe you just got annoyed with something or somebody upset you, please engage back into fellowship. You need other people, and listen, they need you. God gave you spiritual gifts specifically to interact in person with the people around you with those gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says he gives each one a gift for the basically for the benefit of all, right? To strengthen the body. And so you not engaging in fellowship is robbing other people of the gifts God has given you, and vice versa. You're robbing yourself of the gifts he's given them to encourage you with. And so I just wanted to say this. If you're not fellowshipping, please try to fellowship. And if you live in New Mexico, let me know. I can help you find a Bible teaching church in New Mexico. If you're outside of New Mexico, there's other, Pablo and I could still try to help you as far as looking into things and looking into doctrine and stuff. But please consider that. And I want to say this, if you're already going to a church, but maybe you're not engaged, maybe you kind of go sit there and then leave right away when it's over, be engaged. So go get out of your comfort zone, talk to somebody new on Sunday. And a really good way to be engaged in church is to serve. Like, that's a good way to meet someone. I know people that have met their wives serving in churches. Okay. I've heard a few stories of that. So it's a good way to meet people is to serve and then go to church functions. So, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, gather together, do it so much the more as you see the day approaching. Please let me know if you have questions or comments on that. But I hope it stirs people up to engage in fellowship in a meaningful, powerful way. Again, even if everything's not perfect, there's no perfect church, okay? Amen. Our church isn't perfect. Listen, I make mistakes. All the pastors make mistakes. I don't know one perfect church. So if you're looking for perfection, you're not going to find it. But look for a church that God calls you to with a body of believers that you can be in fellowship with. Thank you for letting me spend that much time on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Pablo. But you know what? Also, now that you're there and they've got you, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, brother.
You again, you might be watching this like, I've been to church my whole life. I'm good. I'm, you know, maybe you think you're in a place where, you don't need all these things. And maybe you even read your Bible every day, but here's what the Bible says. You're not perfect. Okay. You can't, no one's going to get into heaven on their own good work, their own good things that they do to try to earn heaven. You can't earn heaven. Here's why. It's already been paid for you. Okay. So trying to earn heaven, actually, that's disrespecting the cross of Jesus Christ, because he died so that he could pay for the sins of the world. Everyone that's ever lived, past, present, future, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you're here, if you're watching this, if you're seeing this video right now, or if you're seeing it in the future sometime, and you're willing to say, God, I'm a sinner. I know my sin, it condemns me. It condemns me to hell. Like, it separates me from God forever. I know I need forgiveness of sin. If that's you, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want to know that you're made right before God, the Bible says you can do that by accepting his gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son, by confessing him with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So if you're willing to say, I'm a sinner, I'm unrighteous, I'm not perfect, I need a savior, and I believe that Jesus is my savior, and I'll confess him with my mouth, I'll believe in my heart, I'll receive God's gift of salvation by faith. And it's about nothing you do, but it's about everything that Jesus did when he died on the cross. If you're willing to believe that and put your faith in that, God, the Bible says you will be saved. So if that's you, if you want to say yes to Jesus today, please pray this prayer with me right where you are. Just pray it. I say, pray this out loud, mean it in your heart, and just say these words. It's just a way to accept Christ and say yes. Just pray this prayer right now. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, God, I need you. Father, I am a sinner. I have made mistakes. Lord, I've made mistakes today. I believe that Jesus is your son, and I believe that he died for my sins on the cross. Please come into my heart, come into my life, and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother, that was great. Listen, family, I have zero to add. Think about what Pastor Jason just said, and I agree with him 100%. Listen, Pastor Jason, thank you so much for coming on. I know we went a little bit over, brother, but it was great. It was really, really good. We're going to come back on again and consistently, because there's just so much happening and so much to be addressed. Pray for Pastor Jason as him and the church start this Wednesday night Bible study, November 1st. Please keep them in your prayers. That would be great. And again, if you're in the area, either on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, and you want to go to a good Bible-believing teaching church, you have one right there at Sunshine Church in Belen, New Mexico. So you guys could look them up and be blessed by what you hear. So Pastor Jason, thanks again, brother. That was great. Listen, family, hope you guys were blessed, encouraged, and challenged. Always get into the Word of God right here and get the Word of God into you. Know it. Live it. All right, family, keep looking up, because any moment that trumpet is going to sound and we are out of here. Praise God for that. See ya until next time. Bye.
Amen.